You're listening to Simple Flight Aviation Radio with Al Waterloo and Mark Hefner on www.simpleflight.net.
Simple Flight Radio, ready for takeoff.
What do you think about flying? Is it a sport? A business? Is it easy or difficult? Is it boring or exciting? Alan Waterloo and Mark Hefner think it may be any of those things, but they like to make it simple. This is Simple Flight Radio, where Mark and Al talk about the many aspects of aviation and the amazing people doing amazing things to make this world a better place.
Mark,
what?
There's a road in our town called Lakeshore Drive.
LSD.
That lives in our hometown. But you know what else lives in our hometown?
What else? Will...
Simple Flight Aviation Radio.
I guess I walked right into that one.
You did. Like a trap door. Boom. It's awesome.
I love that song. I was hoping you wouldn't like cut it off so early. It takes me back.
I should have got a video of you like listening to this thing. You were like all zen-like and flowing, like a leaf in the wind, and
yeah,
it's great.
Yeah, like tripping down LSD or something like that.
And as much as, so we'll get to this song in a minute. There's a reason why we played it, but I have to embarrass my mom real quick.
Uh-oh.
My mom actually
uh-oh.
Who it was.
Now you forget.
You know who the song is written by? Aliota, Haynes, and Jeremiah.
That would have been my next guess.
Yeah, I think she went on a date with Jeremiah.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah.
Well, like last week? Does your dad know?
Yeah, for some reason I always think this comes up every Thanksgiving. No,
well, so you're a little, yeah. You're about a month and a half too early, maybe 2 months too early.
Yeah, right. No, I'm kidding. That's why, anyway, let's forget about it. So
it's a good song, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a great song. I made a great little YouTube video of it. It was actually in April when I first joined the Leading Edge Flying Club. I rented the Archer and had my phone out, and right at sunset, I flew down the lakeshore and
made a
little video of it. And, you know, the lights were going. The sky was that, like, rainbow sherbet color. And
rainbow what?
Sherbert.
How do you spell that?
Sherbert?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Everyone says sherbert. It's actually, there's no R in it. It's sherbet.
Okay.
Oh, but I digress.
Welcome to English class, everyone.
I'm a little anal on stuff like that. Actually, a bazillion people say sherbert. It's okay. Probably acceptable. But yeah. If you look at the box, it actually says sherbet in it.
Yeah, sherbet.
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 It doesn't matter.
It's a sure bet. I'm going to Vegas later. It's a sure bet.
Okay. All right. Well, speaking of Las Vegas, I'm back from Las Vegas.
Welcome home.
Thank you. And happy holidays to you, or post-holidays. I don't know.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome.
Happy New Year. Yeah.
Yep, happy New Year.
Shana Tova to all our Jewish listeners out there.
All right. Great. Excellent.
Al says, what did you just, is that like secret code? Or what?
Yeah.
What's going on there?
Wait a second. There was no R in that.
Shana Tova?
Yeah, it's pronounced, never mind.
Yeah. It usually has a few ches's in it.
Right.
All right.
Well, anyway, let's formally say hello to everyone.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Simple Flight Radio. It's Sunday night, currently at 8:06 Central Time Zone at Kalwaukee Airport.
Exactly.
Commonly known now, I should say, at Chicago Executive Airport, commonly known as Kalwaukee.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, it is a beautiful night here, as it was a beautiful day here in Chicago. A little bit cool. We're going to get back to unseasonably warm.
Yeah.
What, we got a little radio going?
Yeah. I got a little DJing it up today.
All right. Great day, great weekend.
Yeah.
And, so it's all good. All good. How about you?
Well, it was a great weekend. You know, I kind of like the autumnal feel that we've got going on here in Chicago, like the low 60s. I got, you know, it's nighttime. I'm breaking out it's hoodie season.
Look at you. He's wearing a hoodie with a Cirrus aircraft logo, or it's not a logo, but just the words. And I was at our company, our club picnic yesterday, and there was someone wearing a really cool Cirrus aircraft T-shirt.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And I said, wow, where'd you get that shirt? He said, Al Waterloo. So I'm in the field. Are you selling Cirrus shirts now or something?
Yeah, I got like out of the back of
the car.
Yeah, exactly. Just...
My only question is, how come I haven't been offered or given or anything like that? You know, I'm a Cirrus driver.
That's right.
And they're beautiful. The shirt you get. I was talking to Jim, in case you're wondering.
All right.
And it was a beautiful blue. I want one like that, even if I have to pay for it.
Okay. All right. Well,
so
I will.
Be written, so
you know,
be
that's the thing. It's like whenever I go up to the factory, I always seem to spend quite a few dollars in the gift store, replenishing my, or not replenishing, but I guess feverishly adding to my apparel. I don't know. It's just nice stuff.
Yeah, it is real nice.
I like it.
Yeah. So that's why I want one. Actually, I got to talk to our friends over at Heading 370. I want a shirt.
All right.
All right.
The so, Go the Journey shirt or the Heading 370 shirt?
One of the two. Heading 370 shirt's pretty cool. Either
way. You should
way.
Get a cheese plate while you got it, of a sectional cheese plate.
All right. Well, I'm sure he's listening. Maybe he'll send me something.
All right. That looks great. So are you getting some tweets and stuff like that?
I got
that?
A tweet that said they're not hearing us.
What? Yeah, right.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah.
We keep going. So... anyway, I was,
what did you do?
I lost my train of thought. This weekend I flew, actually, this woman that sold me my car.
Uh huh.
She and her husband had not been flying and wanted me to introduce them to the concept of flying.
Yeah.
And so, that's what I did, and I took them flying today in the Cirrus.
Where'd you go?
We took off northwest out of Pewaukee, Papa Whiskey Kilo, if you want to check that on your iFlightPlanner.com application.
Yeah.
And then headed out northwest, kind of in the Harvard, Illinois, Dacy Airport. And then cut north over to Lake Geneva. And then from Lake Geneva went over to the lakeshore, down the lakeshore, down by downtown, did a 180, and then... turned up north, and then when I got to the Baha'i Temple, then I turned kind of northwest, and then west, and right into Pewaukee.
I hope you can draw a map of that.
I could, if I had my iFlightPlanner.com software going.
You could, yeah, exactly.
People are saying, what's he talking about, yeah, iFlightPlanner again?
We'll get back to that in a bit. But, yeah, no, that's exactly.
Yeah.
That sounds like it was a nice, talk about a quite an awesome day for that. And it's, you know... Did you run into any of the clouds? Today was one of those clouds where, you know, the land was nice and – if you're flying over land, it was nice and clear, but out over the lake there were a bunch of clouds.
Actually, the clouds over the lake were more toward the middle. So it was clouds over land. They were dispersing, but there were – at the lakeshore it was perfect, and then you could see to the east more clouds. But no, actually it was opposite of what I'm used to seeing. The clouds were over the lake more than they were over the shore.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I saw a real cool thing. A 777 took off, and it was climbing. You kept on seeing, you know, like when some of those jets, you see they break the sound barrier, you see that little smoke appear.
Yeah, I like that.
That was coming around the 777.
Really?
And it was in the climb, so it was low and slow, and all of a sudden you'd see smoke coming off the middle of where the wings meet the fuselage. It was like round, coming off the back, then it would come off the nose. And they kept on appearing and going away. It was like smoke signals.
Nice. That's awesome.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. I had never seen it like that.
You know, sometimes
they
have like...
that? Because he wasn't like going fast enough where he was compressing the air. And...
Yeah, it's just a, you know, there's like a momentary like water vapor you know, just based on the pressure difference that could lower, you know, raise the.
It was going for about 30 seconds.
Yeah, yeah, that's a pretty common thing. So what's cool is, if you see like, let's say you go to O'Hare, you go airplane spotting in the, like on a really foggy morning or kind of like a humid morning, you go and watch these guys take off. Like there'll be clouds in the engines as they start to rev up because of the air pressure. The pressure drops and therefore, you know, through magic of chemistry, you get,
MOC?
Yeah, exactly.
Magic of chemistry.
Condensation.
Yeah. So, that's cool. So we missed last week.
Yes, we did.
Right. And that was kind of both our faults. We shouldn't say fault. You obviously, for those that followed us, know that you had a funeral to attend.
Yes.
I'm sorry about your loss.
Thank you.
And
you had
and I had a family event. We were in Cedar Rapids.
Right.
And, you know, I spent the time. It was great. Actually, it was a great flight because it was a lot of IFR, and I was with my wife. And here, I have a question for you, actually, because
yeah.
I started balancing the concept of, for my passenger, turbulence versus speed versus staying out of clouds. And I was balancing things, saying what altitude, what direction, what kinds of things do I want to do to make sure this is a better flight for my passenger?
Yeah. So what were some things that you balanced?
Well, it was that. So I knew if I'd gone higher, the winds would be against us.
Yeah.
But I was kind of in the base of the clouds.
Uh-huh.
And so there was some bumps. And there was a lot of greens, yellows, and reds ahead of us, but I wanted to stay out of the clouds. I wanted to stay away from the bumps and wanted to, as much as possible, stay out of the rain, although I decided the rain was a showery type thing, so I knew there wouldn't be a lot of turbulence.
Right.
So ultimately, I decided, based on my passenger, which was my wife, that, okay, I'm going to go low altitude. It was smoother actually there once I found, it was just 4,000 going west, 4,000 feet and, a lot of rain. I diverted around the reds.
Nice.
Right? But I didn't see any, lightning bolts or anything like that. So we had some pretty heavy rain, but it just cleaned the bugs off and she didn't like that, but we got there. Okay. And it added some time. That's the thing, you know, kind of you're balancing too the cost of, I always want to be safe, but don't want to take any unnecessary diversions like you're adding 50% more time to your trip.
Oh, right. Exactly. Exactly. So, you know, we have this tradition every Sunday night that it ends up being, I don't know, I really enjoy it. And the feedback is always great. It's got its own hashtag, the hashtag SNC.
I've heard of it.
You have? You're the founder, the creator, the social entrepreneur of the Sunday Night
social
Chuckle.
I like that. Yeah, Sunday Night Chuckle.
How do you like that?
I love it. It makes me smile. It makes me feel proud.
Right.
I'm beaming now. Can you see me beam?
I can. And so in order to set the tone for the rest of the show, why don't you kick us off and make the SNC proud?
Okay, well, I'll try. You know, I when I do the Sunday Night Chuckle, in the beginning it was all aviation. Then I started to put in a little flavor of our guest, right? Just like, we know there's some news today about Lakeshore Drive in Chicago, and
yeah.
So you played, Lakeshore Drive. But so we actually have a little bit of a golf theme for tonight's show.
Yes.
Right? Yeah. So Jack was, you know, playing golf, and, one day he was in his golf cart and he accidentally overturned his golf cart.
Uh huh.
And there was a very attractive lady that lived on the golf course in a villa, and her name was Elizabeth, and she you took my phone away from me. She was a very attractive lady living there, and she heard the noise.
Yeah.
And she called out to him, seeing the golf cart turned over.
Oh, man.
Yeah, so she yelled out to him, and she said, "Are you okay? What's your name?" And Jack replied, "Hey, it's Jack. I'm okay. Thanks." And so she said, "Jack, forget your troubles, right? I come to my villa, rest a while, and I'll help you get that card up later. And he said, well, that's mighty nice of you, but I really don't think my wife would like that. And he says, and Elizabeth said, oh, come on. And she was very pretty. She's, let's say she, you know, she's, the look, right? That you would say, hey, this is someone I'd like to be near. And the guy was pretty weak. Jack was weak. So he said, okay, but I don't think my wife's going to like it. So she gave him, let's say, a restorative brandy and some creative putting lessons, and he thanked his host. He says, well, I feel a lot better now, but I know my wife is really going to be upset. And Elizabeth said, don't be silly. She won't know anything. By the way, where is she? And he said, well, she's under the cart.
That's awesome. I like that.
Yeah, a little golf. A little bit of funny, a little bit of, well, anyway, we'll see what
little
Mrs.
Aviation.
Waterloo, your mom, thinks about that.
Yeah.
She's my best critic.
Yeah, she always seems to like your jokes.
Well, that's why I like her so much.
Yeah, exactly. You always like your best fans.
Yeah.
Well, that's nice. So, you know, we played the song Lakeshore Drive.
Right.
One, because it's a good song. Two, it's a great song. And three, it sparked some news. It sparked us to play that due to some fun news. And well,
fun news that could have been not very fun, but
right,
it turned
out
to be fun.
Put it that way. Yeah. So, you know, earlier, or actually, I think it was yesterday morning.
Well, I thought it was this morning.
Yes, it was this morning. This morning around 5:45 a.m., a pilot declared a Mayday or emergency and actually landed on Lakeshore Drive as an emergency.
And for those of you that don't know Lakeshore Drive in Chicago, it's actually a pretty busy but very scenic road that hugs the lakeshore.
Yeah.
But at 5:45 on a Sunday morning, probably not a lot going on. So he didn't hit anybody.
Right.
And
you know what was funny is that he said in the interview that he timed it with the red lights.
How do you time it? Engine out.
Yeah, well, it wasn't an engine out. It was actually the airplane started to shake violently because there was a cable or something that came loose in his flight controls, and he was afraid that he wasn't going to be able to.
Tell me what this means. He timed it. He's like heading down.
Yeah, so he's trying to figure out where to go. Yeah, where it turns red, the road's clear because all the traffic is held at the red light and he didn't touch down.
Oh my goodness. So let me ask you this. So if I were going to put an airplane down and I'm over Lakeshore Drive, that also means I'm over Lakeshore with beach, and no one in a cold day like this would have been out at the beach. It seems to me I would have put it down on the sand.
I don't
know. Or the concrete, whatever part of the lakeshore you're at.
I don't know. You know, the plane that it looks like the guy was flying, it didn't say actually the type of plane, but it was it looked like kind of an experimental. You know, I'd probably put it down because you don't know, you know, touching down in the sand, you're going to just plop and go, you know, flip the airplane.
I'm thinking that I'd run into a car if I land on a very busy, although it may not be
well,
busy
this,
at 5:45
I think that you got to put in the situation. The guy made the choice to put it down.
Yep.
There and he found it necessary to get on the ground as soon as possible. And it wasn't like it was a engine out. Oh man, I'm just going to put this thing, you know, I got to just dead stick it somewhere. It was a conscientious, like, you know, landing that he made.
And at 5:45, what's the visibility? Was it dark or light at 5:45?
I think it's still dark, maybe just a hint of dawn. But
I'm thinking you can't see any overpasses, you can't see any wires.
I think it's a little gutsy.
Yeah.
But you did a great job.
Yeah, evidently he's safe. No one got hurt, and we're all smiling about, you know, the situation.
Yeah, exactly. So you'd put it down in the beach.
Beach, and you know, some of the beaches in Chicago around there probably are more cement than their beach, but I just don't want to hurt anybody else, right? You don't want to hurt yourself or your passengers, but you don't want to make it into a big thing.
Right.
I took, as I was saying earlier, I took someone for their first flight today. We went down the lakeshore and by the big buildings, and that was cool. And I tell you, in the back of my mind, I'm always thinking, okay, if something goes, I can't run into a building.
Right.
You know, I don't want to put in the water. So where are the natural spots that I could go? And I'll be honest, Lakeshore Drive has never been one of the ones that comes to mind.
Yeah. Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah. Well, Hyderabad, awesome. But yeah, it's a frightening thought. You know, because there's a lot of things, you know, with a big city right there, but oh well.
Yeah. Well, you get awesome views. That's for sure.
Yep. Hey, real quick before we get on to other things, did you hear about that guy, the Jonathan Trapp? He was on September 12th, since we didn't have a show last week, we hadn't talked about this. Do you know who Jonathan Trapp is?
No.
If I said it was a cluster, what does that mean to you?
Oh, it's busy, chaos,
right, horribleness. Well, and it's not a cluster and then that naughty four-letter word. Cluster balloon system, he was going to fly across the Atlantic.
Ooh.
With only 370 relatively small helium balloons.
Uh-huh.
And he attached it to a life raft, and the life raft had all these ballast, like sandbags or something on it.
Yeah.
And it was interesting because on the video I saw, it's like to take off, he drops one bag. So it's like right at that weight list and it's holding.
Oh, that's awesome.
Or one, not one, yeah, one ballast piece and flew up and it was, to get up into a weather current, weather system that was going to take him to across the Atlantic in less than 100 hours. I guess he had a lot of problems, very erratic on the altitude. They said he mismanaged his ballast. 12 hours later, he landed in Newfoundland.
Oh, man.
But I don't know. That takes a lot of guts to say I'm going to hook all these, like, 370 balloons. It reminds me of that movie Up, the cartoon.
There was a Mythbusters where they did something like that, where they just, how many balloons does it take to get, you know, take somebody, you know,
flying?
Airborne? Yeah, flying. I mean, it's a ton of balloons.
Well, this was only 370. And they say small balloons. They weren't like the kind you blow up in your hand and for the kids' party, but they weren't huge.
Like weather balloons or something like that.
Actually, maybe smaller than that. I don't know.
Really?
I don't, you know, there's a video. You can catch it on AvWeb. Has that, so you can go over to AvWeb and have a little video and you can actually see him launch and all.
Wow.
But it was very pretty.
That, I bet. You know, that does take a lot of guts. You're like, okay, well, what if your balloons start popping? I'd be nervous about that.
Yeah.
But hey, I got this, I was scrolling the web and I found this article and, it's titled Black Hawk Pilot Gets a Parking Ticket.
And I assume you mean he was driving his car when he got his parking ticket or his traffic ticket.
Negative. He was driving a National Guard Blackhawk helicopter. And he, you know, so this was out in Colorado. And if you've been following the news lately, they've been having a heck of a hard time with floods.
Oh my goodness!
Fires
it's
and
so
stuff
sad
like,
to
yeah.
see what's going on out there.
So they had a Black Hawk pilot need to land on a street to help rescue people.
Yeah.
And so he landed on the street, but he landed on like the opposite. He was facing the opposite direction of the way you would drive down the street. So you know we normally yep. drive on the right hand side. Well. Imagine driving on the right-hand side, but, like, being in the left lane. So he touched down in the left lane, you know,
yeah.
facing the wrong way. So a cop wrote him a traffic ticket for parking in a no-parking zone and facing the wrong direction of traffic.
That's just silly. That's just silly, right? As a matter of fact, I don't even know if I should believe you on that.
Yeah, well, the funny thing is that it turns out the Colorado cop has quite the sense of humor. And it was definitely a practical joke, but, it's funny. The guy, you know, they have pictures of the ticket and, you know, it's all written out. It's addressed to the U.S. Army and all this. And it's pretty hilarious.
Well, it's good that he had a sense of humor. If that was for real, I was going to be pretty upset.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So anyway, we got a, moving on a little bit. We've got a great guest tonight.
Tell me more about the wise one.
Well,
svelte one.
Svelte one.
Yeah, I saw that tweet you got earlier that you said, that, or somebody else called you svelte, and you said that's what Mark says.
That is what Mark says.
That is what Mark says. You've been taking care of yourself, doing the juicing thing.
Yep, and it's awesome.
Dropping some tonnage.
I can, let's put it this way, I can officially carry 3 more gallons of Avgas on an airplane.
All right, so that's 18 pounds. Of, yeah, you can actually almost do 4, right?
Yeah, almost 4. So it's
good
yeah,
for you.
So thank you. But yeah, so we have a great guy, on the show tonight, Mr. Andy Matthews.
Yeah.
He's part of the iFlight planner team, and it's got a pretty cool product. You know, when we always think of, you know, flight planner tools, we, you know, what's the first thing that comes to mind?
ForeFlight.
Yeah. And let me tell you, I've been starting to use iFlight Planner, and it's pretty cool. It helps me with my New Year's revolution. So,
New Year's going around in circles.
Yeah. No, New Year's resolution. My aviation New Year's resolution.
You got it.
Yeah.
Tell me more.
Well, we'll get, let's get Andy on the phone and we can talk to him and, we can help figure it out.
Giving Andy Matthews out of Ann Arbor, Michigan a call here. On iFlightPlanner.com.
Yes.
Yeah. And that must be him.
I'm right here, guys.
Hey, Andy, how are you? It's Mark Eppner and Al Waterloo.
Fantastic. How are you guys?
Excellent. It's Sunday night and we get to talk airplanes. How much better can
you
get?
That's awesome. Yeah, maybe, no complaints.
Yeah, exactly.
It certainly beats I used to hate Sunday nights.
Because of Mondays?
Because I would always have like a, right now is when I would just start sitting down to do my homework as a kid that was like, you know, never got done, and you had like a hint of a sore throat. You had a reading quiz the next day. Ugh! But I love Sunday nights now.
Yeah, well, I had that same problem, and that, you know how I stopped that?
Wow.
I stopped doing homework.
Okay. And it shows. Well, anyway, so as you can tell, our pilot ADD gets the best of us on this, and we go off in different stages. But Andy, thanks for joining us and all that. And, so do you want to, just to kick it off, you want to give us a little background about yourself and your aviation career?
Sure. Well, you know, my aviation career, started, I guess at a really young age. I always had a fascination for airplanes. I would definitely say I'm an av geek in that sense of the word, and you know, spent a lot of weekends and even weekdays out at the airport with my dad just watching airplanes. And so that's kind of where things got going for me, and I mean, I'm sure a lot of people can relate to that, kind of seeing the planes at the airport. Nothing like the smell of jet fuel in the morning, I like to say sometimes. And it was, that was kind of it. And, no one in my family ever flew or had a pilot's license. So, it was just kind of something that built up in me over time. And, you guys mentioned a little bit, there might be a bit of a golf theme this evening. And, after I graduated from the University of Michigan, I turned pro. I played golf at Michigan and have had a 10-year professional golf career playing all over the world and some pretty cool places. But unfortunately, I had an injury a few years back, and the doctors kind of said, you know what, you gotta let the club sit in the corner for a little bit and get healthy. And while that was good for the body, it wasn't good for the mind, and I started going pretty stir crazy. And so I took that opportunity with a lot of encouragement from my dad, and he was the one that said, you know what, you've been talking about getting your pilot's license since you were this high. Why don't you go do it? So
nice.
I did, and really that's been kind of the precipice then that got me into aviation as – I guess a career now with iFlight Planner as well. So, I always say I can't really separate golf and aviation. So, that's where I've been and, having a lot of fun. It's amazing. Every time I'm on the golf course, I've always got an ear up to the sky looking and listening to what's going on overhead. And, one of the best places to check out a golf course is from up above it. So, they work pretty well together.
You know, when people ask me, you know, about how do you do this flying thing and how do you afford it, and I always say, well, it's my golf that I gave up golf to do aviation. Mm-hmm. Now you've just thrown mud in that to say, no, you can do both.
Mark, you need to be a better multitasker.
Well, it's a multi-spender.
Yeah, that's for sure. A lot of balance.
Yeah.
You know what I'm always amazed by is the number of golf courses right next to airports.
Yeah, absolutely. And, it's, you know, it's funny. I mean, so many of the pilots that I know golf, and, it's, I guess that's the golf gods making it easy for us to feed two addictions.
Yeah.
I guess so.
There was a quick little, golf aviation. If I could interject that, there was I was out in Roanoke, Virginia once with some pilot buddies, and there were three golf courses we were going to go try to play. And we picked the one that we picked, and because it had the approach lighting system running through the middle of the golf course for the Roanoke International Airport.
How does it do that? I mean,
yeah, it had you know, the rabbit lights and everything. Yeah. It had the pillar, like orange towers, because this course was in a ravine, and we picked that course just because we had to play.
Well, I would too, but I could never hit it down the fairway, so I'd probably hit the lights, knock them out.
Believe me, I hit in the woods plenty of times, and we're all secretly aiming for the light. That was just great.
Oh my goodness. Well, you know what? I have to ask you, Andy, that, because I'm trying to think what year it was. In the mid 80s, I was working for a computer software firm, and one of the guys I worked with told me he was a former pro golfer. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh my God, what a great thing. Why would you give it up? And he said he stopped having fun because he always had to be so critical of his game, and he always felt he could do better. And it became more of a business than fun to him. And so he gave it up. And so I'm wondering, one, how do you deal with that? And do you carry that over to flying? Do you have the same attitude toward flying, or is it never quite good enough, or do you have fun? Compare and contrast for me, if you could.
Yeah, it's definitely interesting. And I mean, people leave professions or passions for one reason or another. And I think you hear that from a lot of professionals who gave it a good run and decided to quote unquote get a real job afterwards. It is a grind. And, I think when you start to really get wore down from, crisscrossing the country or the globe, and you're away from home and in and out of a suitcase. And I know a lot of pilots can relate to that aspect of it. But, you know, I think it's like with anything else, once it does feel more like a job, and, that's when people start to ask the question, is it time? But for me, it's always been, it's been a great balance for me. Now this year I've played a lot less golf than I have in years past, but, it really gave me, or I should say forced me into become a really good, time manager. I absolutely wanted to give golf everything that I had, and the same thing with flying. And I know that in order to be competitive on the golf course or proficient in the cockpit, there's no shortcuts.
Right.
I mean, you need to do everything right to be at your best. And I mean, obviously, there's consequences to that. And, it was something for me that, it allowed me to, I guess find myself in both. With, I'm very linear person. I like checklists. And while golf isn't a game of perfect, there's always a routine that I adhere to that allows me to play my best or give myself the best opportunity to play well. And it's very much the same in the cockpit with, how we rely on our checklists and get in our routine and our flow. And that gives us the best opportunity to have a safe and eventful flight.
It's very okay. I guess I understand that. Although
yeah, yeah.
I'm wondering about the personally, when I get up in an airplane, all my troubles go away,
mm-hmm.
and all that. But I'm trying to picture if I were a professional golfer, it almost seems not like work, but just the intensity of and the stress to do it well and to do it. I don't know. Maybe it's just because I'm not a good golfer. I wouldn't know how to relax it. Playing the
That's
game.
Probably what it is.
Yeah. Well, hey.
Well, and you know, it's actually the what you just said there about relaxing and so much of what happens, when you're at a very competitive level is getting out of your own way and allowing yourself to have fun out there. All the practice, all the hours that you're spending on the driving range and stuff, that's the work. The way that I always looked at it is that was kind of my 9-to-5. And I was always working towards the weekend where, you know what, on Thursday morning, first round of the golf tournament, I was able to tee it up. I love to compete, and that's where I had the most fun, because I knew if I did everything I needed to in the days leading up to prepare myself for it, I could just go out and trust exactly what I had done. So I felt like I was able to compartmentalize things a little bit. I can relate to that. When you're in the cockpit, kind of all the worries go away, and it's a feeling unlike any other piloting an airplane. And it's just the same for me when I'm on the golf course and in the heat of competition. I mean, that's why we spend all the hours to get our games in shape, to be able to put ourselves in those positions.
Yep, very cool.
Oh, absolutely. Could totally relate. Hey, we just got a tweet in from a listener, and if you don't mind, they're wondering who your club sponsor was.
I have spent the last 6 or 7 years with Cleveland Golf.
All right. Nice.
Out of Huntington Beach, California, and obviously you'll see the likes of Keegan Bradley and Vijay Singh, and Srixon owns Cleveland Golf, so you'll see a lot of Cleveland guys playing the Srixon golf ball as well, and I'm one of those guys too. So it's been a great relationship. They're a great company, and I've had a lot of fun working with them.
Nice. Excellent. Well, the golf stuff sounds a lot of fun, but so does the iFlight Planner, stuff. And, I've started to play around with this, and, you and I have spoken offline about it. I gotta say, it's a really cool product. So can you give us a little background on how, what is iFlight Planner and kind of how it came about?
Yeah. Well, you know, the, iFlight Planner is, I guess in essence, a cloud-based flight planning solution. There's comprised of iFlightPlanner.com, mobile.iFlightPlanner.com, and iFlight Planner for iPad. And each one of them is connected via the iFlight Planner cloud. So you can do all your planning on the web, sync everything to the iPad, and with the new version of the iPad app we have coming out, you're going to be able to do all your planning within the app as well, and sync it across all your devices. So I mentioned that I had to take time off to let the body heal for golf. And naturally, after I was healthy and got my license, my dad was my first passenger, and he was the one that noticed the amount of effort that was going into what seemed to be a pretty simple sightseeing flight around Grand Rapids. And kitchen table was covered with charts and laptop and the whole bit. And he was the one that kind of made the observation that said, you know what, there needs to be a simpler way to do everything. And so that was kind of the founding idea behind iFlight Planner. It's just been a combination of a lot of great feedback from our membership on what they like to see and how they like to see things work, and continuing to really push the envelope. It's obviously a very competitive market. There's no shortage of products out there, and it's I think in that sense it's very it's a lot of fun. That kind of gets the inner entrepreneur in me going, and the competitive side of golf. So it's been a great space to be in, and a lot of fun. And I mean, it's amazing to think that just 4 years ago the iPad was released, and
yeah,
now you look at where we are, not only in our personal day-to-day lives with it, but obviously how it's transformed what we're doing in the cockpit.
And when did iFlight Planner release to the public?
iFlightPlanner.com was released in February of 2010, and we released iFlight Planner for iPad 2 years ago.
And so I'm trying to remember, when did the Four Flights and Garmin Pilots and all of those come out? Was it, did you beat them to market, I guess is my question?
Actually, no. I mean, I think Four Flight was probably one of the first, and obviously they've done a fantastic job with their product, and everybody kind of followed in after Four Flight and saw exactly what the iPad could do for them in the cockpit, and it's been great. It's been very competitive. So we definitely weren't the first to the dance, but we're having a lot of fun, and I think we've got a pretty unique product, and we're continuing to push it.
Yeah. So what makes it unique as you compare to the major players that people are always comparing and contrasting with?
Yeah, absolutely. I think one of the first things that people will notice when they download the app from the App Store or just check out iFlightPlanner.com is a pretty intuitive interface. We try and minimize the number of clicks and touches to really get to the information that you need to plan your flight. And what we've done is we've set up the flight planning process into what we call a flight wizard. And so it guides you through the route planning, retrieving a certified weather brief, calculating your weight and balance, and then filing your flight plan. So there's not a lot of duplicate data entry. And when you finish that four-step process, you can be confident that your T's have been crossed, your I's are dotted, and you're ready to go. So the user interface gives us the opportunity to present that flight wizard, and then really the cloud-based solution that everything talks to each other. You can sign into your iFlight Planner account from anywhere with a web browser and an internet connection.
Yeah, you know what? I got to say that this is. I mentioned my New Year's pilot resolution.
I think you called it a revolution.
Revolution. It would be a revolution. At the beginning of the year, I said, hey, you know what? I sent out this tweet, and I said, hey, what's everybody's New Year pilot resolution? And mine was to always get a certified weather briefing before a flight. And, you know, because there's no excuse not to, even if you're going to be doing touch-and-goes in the pattern on a blue sky day, right? You know, just so you had it. The tools are there. And the nice thing about iFlight Planner is it makes you do that. It makes you do a wet weight and balance. So, I mean, I can with decent confidence say that probably a lot of people don't do that. They do their own diligence, but they don't get the certified weather briefing. They don't necessarily do a weight and balance for every flight. And this kind of walks you through it in one spot so that, you know, you actually acknowledge it and abide by the FARs.
Yeah, and it's interesting that you say that because, you know, as we were going through the research and development of how we wanted to present the experience to the pilots, it was amazing how many pilots said, you know, I don't compute a weight and balance. I know my aircraft, quote unquote. And, you know, I mean, it's, if we can make it easy and present everything there for you with one click, you can compute your weight and balance. And it's the same thing with the weather brief. We're able to input the route that you just planned, graphically on our, on the charts and on the map. And, one click, you get, your transaction number from the FAA that if they say, you know what, did you get your brief? And you can say absolutely. And here's the number.
Yeah.
So, that was really pretty amazing to us in that R&D phase. So that when we did actually present the product, those steps of the process were really, really easy to do.
Yeah. No, that's outstanding. I think it's holding the accountability. And I think that's really how a lot of people want to fly. Nobody wants to be a pilot in command that doesn't do the right thing. But, you know, it's so easy to slip by all that stuff. And, you know, there's a lot of apps out there that make it easy to get a weather briefing or do a weight and balance. But to have it actually, you know, before you file a flight plan on iFlight Planner, you know, to actually acknowledge and get all that stuff is really smart. You know, I think a lot of people, that's got to be a pretty big, you know, positive, you know, reception point, I guess, if you will, amongst your users.
So, Al, are you getting your resolution, and do you do that before every flight when you take a student up?
Yeah, I always try to. I'll say that I'm not perfect.
Okay.
But, you know, for the VFR flights that you're just going to be doing around the area, yeah, I always try to do it. And but, you know, I'm not perfect at it.
Yeah, no, I'm saying because actually, and obviously a little tangential issue here, is I do 99% of the time I call for an abbreviated briefing for adverse conditions just for the TFRs.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Just to get that done. So I when you said that's your resolution, it's tough. I mean, it's so easy just to say it's beautiful. I'm going to be in the area. I'm going to go fly.
Yeah, right. Yeah. And if you do a, you know, a little things like the, you know, stupid little NOTAMs that could really catch you. You know, at least you could download it, put on your, you know, iPad and take it with you and read it later, you know.
Yeah.
Which is kind of cool.
So Andy, you know, you've got this product out there now and you've had a couple years to work on it, or 3 years to work on it, and been out there, I think you said, for 2 years. I'm mm-hmm. getting all my years mixed up, but in terms of surprises, things that happened that maybe you weren't expecting, either positively or negatively?
You know, the biggest surprise, and I was just touching on that, was how people plan, and kind of cutting the corners. That mm-hmm. that was the biggest surprise. What's been great, most appreciative since is the continued feedback that we get.
Sure.
We've made ourselves pretty available. Myself and our director of technology, have our hands on or ears on, just about every message that comes in the door. So we make sure that we're really on top of what's going on. And, that just the conversations that we've been able to have with pilots and hear how they want to plan, what resources that they want. And, that's, for me, that's been the most rewarding. I don't know if that's, necessarily surprising, but definitely the most rewarding is being able to put a product out there, let people put it through its paces and have them help them plan, but then the continued conversation that results as coming after them planning and us being able to continue put a product out there that really helps them.
Yeah, in a sense, forming a relationship with your customers that makes it almost like family.
It is. And you know what? We start to look at, AirVenture and AOPA Summit as kind of the quote unquote family reunion. We have, I guess, a bit of a virtual relationship with a lot of our members where you recognize a name and an email address and you have some communication back and forth. But when they walk up and introduce themselves and you can put a face with that conversation, it's really pretty cool.
Yeah, absolutely. So how do you use this for your own personal flying? What are some of your favorite features?
You know, one of my favorite features, and it's one that we released just in the last few months, is bringing in all the special use airspace, all the class airspace, and those as layers over our maps. So obviously you guys being in the Chicagoland area, it's pretty pretty complex airspace, and with me being over here on the other side of the lake, it makes it really easy for me just to click on the map. I can say view airspace and it gives me a complete vertical profile of everything with any related NOTAMs to, I mean, whether it be TFRs or just your basic class Bravo around Chicagoland. So that to me has been really one of my favorites. And you know, I think syncing with the iPad is pretty cool. It's a really small data package that we're able to pull down from the website, and you throw that on the iPad and you've got your route and your GPS moving map and the whole bit. So The wireless sync and I think the airspace is two of my favorites.
Yeah. So anyway, there's one thing that I really like about this, and it's kind of it's the logbook function. Mm-hmm. And it's cool because you can actually log this and, log a particular flight. And, you know, as I was going through this, you can put in a specific airplane. And do you use this for your own personal logbook too? Or do you just use it for miscellaneous flights?
Or no, I have everything in there. I took the time, originally once I knew this functionality was coming down the pipeline to transfer my paper logbook into an Excel, spreadsheet. And then once it was live, we've got the ability to import, any spreadsheet files. So I was able to put everything in iFlight Planner and, I use it, and people will see some of the new features that are coming with iFlight Planner for iPad 2.0, which is a month or two out. We're able to look at the logbook in a little bit more detail and actually give you some currency and even proficiency updates. So if you if you're getting close to getting out of the 90-day window, we'll be able to let you know that to make sure that you get in the cockpit and do what you need to do to not only stay current but actually proficient.
Yeah, so I'm sitting here in our little studio, and we've got a big screen TV, and Al's got your program right up here, so I'm following along and seeing some things. So it's, you know, I see iFlight Planner for iPad. And I've heard you mention the different versions mobile. Is it different apps or just same app for different platforms?
It's the same app for different platforms. Okay. Whether you fly with an iPad or not, you can still use iFlight Planner on the web from any web browser, whether it be in the studio to the office, or you log in to your account when you're at the FBO at your destination. So it's accessible from there, and there's even a streamlined version for your smartphone. So whether you're on an Android device, which I am, or an iPhone or BlackBerry or Windows phone, mobile.iFlightPlanner.com allows you to get all your information there as well.
Very cool.
That's awesome. So what's the Sennheiser tab at the bottom?
Yeah.
So, ironically, when you look at the whole timeline of things, we launched the website in February 2010. Steve Jobs announces the iPad in March of 2010. So we had our shiny new product out there, and everybody was loving what they were seeing on the web, and they start asking for the iPad version. Well, Sennheiser at the time was in development of their new S1 digital aviation headset, and reached out to us to do an iPad app. We didn't have one at the time, and they saw it as an opportunity to help grow their brand as more than just a headset company, but an aviation company that's supporting pilots and general aviation as a whole. And so they wanted to put their name on iFlight Planner for iPad. So actually the official name is iFlight Planner for iPad, presented by Sennheiser. And that's the relationship with us and Sennheiser. So, it created a little bit of a stir in the very beginning. What is a flight planning company doing partnering with a headset manufacturer? And, that was a little bit of the strategy to kind of create some buzz. And we're kind of closing the loop here with a new version of the app. Actually has a cockpit voice recorder, so you can plug your headset in with right into iFlight Planner for iPad and record the conversation, and especially for going back and reviewing it, and if you're a student pilot as well, you can get that and actually go back and listen to your flights with your instructor.
That's really awesome. I can't wait for that. That's a, you know.
That was a big hit at Air Venture. We put a preview out there and had a chance to show that and demonstrate that with the headsets. And that was a lot of fun.
You know, I'm sitting here and I know we've kind of moved beyond the golf thing, but how do you do all of your PGA stuff and then run a company and make it to Air Venture and all that? Because you talked about the dedication and commitment and practice playing golf. How does this fit?
You know, this was the first year that I played a lot less golf than I have in years past, and have at some level started to shut down the professional golf side and focus more fully on iFlight Planner. But it was definitely difficult, but at the same time, when thankfully there's an internet connection just about everywhere we go now, and we're able to keep connected back with the iFlight Planner crew in Ann Arbor, and it definitely got more difficult as the company grew, and I started to sense a little bit more of that grind that we were talking about earlier. So
yeah.
I've started to shut down the golf a little bit. I still absolutely love getting out there and playing and having fun without the pressure. But yeah, it's all hands on deck with iFlight Planner now, and playing a lot less.
You know, Al, I think one of these things we're going to see in the next version of iFlight Planner will probably be some kind of golf course concierge tying aviation into some great courses, going to Kohler, Wisconsin, for instance, right, for some of these guys that fly into Sheboygan.
That would actually be pretty cool.
Yeah, I just gave you an idea, so when we see it, we'll know it's mine.
I'm making notes as we speak.
Yeah, well, when I go to Sheboygan, I see all these corporate jets come in, mm-hmm. and people get off with all their golf bags to play Whistling Straits or whatever they've got up there, those great courses. I say, wait a minute, how is that corporate jet providing income to some corporation? This is just their little boondoggle.
That's excellent. So what's your role in the company? You said that there's a technical side of this too. You have another partner in it?
I do. John Burnside is our director of technology. John and I were actually roommates together at the University of Michigan, and he started a web development and technology company right out of school called Huron One Solutions. And, you know, it was, when the idea came up, he was naturally, the first person that I contacted. So, my role as director of business development and John as director of technology, that's kind of where the crew starts. And the fun part about it is too that, both of our fathers are involved. So it's a great experience to be able to do this with our dads as well.
That sounds terrific. Although the only thing that kind of made me cringe is I'm a Hawkeye, and Al's from University of Illinois, so we got three Big Tens, all adversaries, I guess you could say. Not on the aviation front, but we have a lot of alumni pride, I think, going here.
Absolutely. You know, there's nothing like it.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah. So there was who would you say is your like prime customer at the moment? You know, is it a flight department? Is it a, you know, Sennheiser headset owner? Is it a, you know, somebody that flies a 172?
Yes, yes, and yes.
Yay. All right. Bingo.
the core and given my experience as a private pilot, the initial versions of iFlight Planner have been focused on your general aviation pilot flying piston aircraft, and we're now making a very concerted effort to start to expand that to more turbine aircraft, so to speak, and even professional and corporate flight departments. So looking forward to really jump into that side of the industry as well, and we've got a feature in there that allows pilots within, say, a corporate flight department to share all the flight plans and maintenance logs and that sort of detail amongst each other. So, say Al and I were flying somewhere and we were on a flight, I could actually plan the flight, tag Al as a member of the flight crew on that, and I file everything, and then Al would open up his iFlight Planner account, whether it be on the iPad or online, and he'll have access to everything that I plan. So, creating an opportunity that everybody's seeing the same information as it relates to a flight, and help people plan a little bit more efficiently.
Yeah, that's really cool. I really like that feature, and when I look at a lot of these, flight planning tools, that's such a huge important feature in a professional environment, if I say, just because, let's say me and my coworker Travis, if we're out flying, I could be doing all the filing, and what commonly happens is that I'll be outside, putting the snacks together or something like that in the airplane. Travis is inside paying for fuel, and I essentially forgot to print out all of our flight plan information. So, to have that feature, I say that's a really slick thing to do, where you can share this amongst coworkers or crew members or whatnot. And I'd be curious to see, or Mark, what do you think about that feature for like the general aviation guy, the single pilot?
I'm seeing it more for the corporate side. What do you think? I mean, I'm trying to envision. I'm sitting there with my wife. What does she care about?
Yeah, well, maybe just your wife, or like or your friends, or what? Like you get makes it easier to. Get advice on a route, maybe, or what, look at weather conditions
But the way I think now, which is limited in its scope, is Marcy, my wife, gets on when she's not flying with me, is FlightAware, .com, mm-hmm. and then she just tracks me, right? She just goes, okay, he's getting to his destination or whatever. I guess I'm not thinking out of the box, because as you mentioned that, Al, I think there is some opportunity there. It would be a change in how I operate.
Yeah.
But it's an interesting thought.
Yeah, absolutely. How do you think going back to the main user base for this, mm-hmm. what are what are some of their favorite features? I know we touched on this just a little bit, but about the cloud sync and things like that, but is there some what's kind of the raw horsepower behind everybody's, the go-to feature in this?
Really it's the first step of the flight wizard. And I pointed out my favorite feature being that the airspace, but, it's really, all the visuals. We use a lot of color coding, to make, adverse flight conditions really stand out. The route rubber banding capability. You can really do and see everything that, more or less everything that you would actually get in that certified weather brief in a more visual form. And we all know how cryptic the, some of the FAA language can be in that sense. So the visuals, I think are definitely what our members see as a really big benefit, with all the graphical AirMets and SIGMets and TFRs that are always on the map, and the access to IFR and VFR charts and approach plates, and everything is really right there. And
yeah.
And that's actually one of the benefits of our relationship with Sennheiser, is all of our charts and approach plates are available free of charge. So whether you're on the web or on the iPad, and the iPad app is a free download. So all that stuff is available to you right at your fingertips. So we try to make things as easy as possible. Actually, I should say simple. We are on simpleflight.net.
Absolutely, you got it.
So that's trying to put things where pilots would expect to find them. and allow them to make a high level decision by seeing things, but also making the really detailed stuff available and slightly under the surface, so you're not bombarded with information, but it's there if you really need it.
Yeah. I'm as we're talking here, I'm planning out a flight that I normally take from Palwaukee to Doylestown, and I'm looking at some of the visuals and seeing the sectional overlays. What I'm seeing here is kind of like all the information, not just on the route, but a route corridor.
Exactly. And yes, so
that's really cool. I don't think I've ever seen that before.
So what you're seeing there is every airport that reports a METAR will be depicted as a little color coded circle.
Yeah.
And any airport that reports a TAF as well is a square. And then what we do, it's all color coded. But say you have a current condition of a METAR that's a green VFR condition, but the worst case scenario in the forecasted TAF is an IFR condition. So you'll actually see an airport depicted as both green and red. So you know current conditions are fine, but the worst case scenario in the forecast is an IFR condition, and that's something that you'll want to pay attention to.
Yeah, this is really slick. And as I scroll a little bit farther down on the page on the computer, it looks like you can actually export this file as a Garmin flight plan file and a couple others like ASMAP.
Absolutely. One of the premium features in iFlight Planner is the ability to export that. So whether your GPS device supports a USB key or an SD card, you can save that right from the computer onto that disk, slide it into the avionics and have the route auto-populate, so you don't have to tune all the dials every time.
Yeah, that's really slick. I like that. So that would be that. I like this as far as when I go out and teach students how to plan and everything like that. Mm-hmm. This is just such a really nice way of like getting things done ahead of time. You know, mm-hmm. I always say tell students that right before you go to bed, plan out your flight, get your briefing. You know, file the. You know, just hit the submit button on your flight plans. They might not file immediately, but you know they'll at least get filed. And you know, this is a nice way of people now just downloading it onto their SD card and just taking that mm-hmm. one extra step of not having to worry about it.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. Excellent. So there's a Mark has a quick question.
Yeah, I was just wondering, and I apologize for not knowing this, but does it have the geo position? The ability?
It does. Yes. iFlight Planner for iPad does utilize the location services in the iPad. So you'll have a moving map in your location depicted right on the charts as well.
And then does it have the ability, because we bought one of these ADS-B antennas that you kind of, it's portable and you carry it from
yes.
airplane to airplane. So is it compatible with one or another of those?
The new version of iFlight Planner for iPad will. The current version does not yet. So 2.0 or 2.1 is going to support the ADS-B, and we're definitely going to be exploring those. We've got a great relationship with the guys over at Duel. Everybody's familiar with the little red devices mm-hmm. and their ADS-B functionality, and we're hard at work at 2.0 right now, and definitely going to look at supporting as many of those as we can. We definitely don't want to be exclusive to one device, trying to make things as accessible. I mean, with the way that the product's set up, that you can get at it from anywhere, we definitely want to make put the device of choice available on iFlight Planner as well.
Yeah,
man, you know, I love this. As I'm going through this, I just emailed.
I think you've got a new director of business development here.
Yeah. I just emailed and texted my weight and balance information to myself.
I don't want to know about your weight and balance. No offense.
It's awesome. Yeah,
I've always think about things from the business side, Andy, mm-hmm. and one of the things I'm sitting here is Al and I have been very excited, and our radio show has been going on for slightly more than a year, and all the entrepreneurs and all these things coming out. Yet while we've seen general aviation really turn around in our mind, and it's only getting better and better, mm-hmm. as I think about the competitive landscape, and again, you know all the names besides yourself that are in there.
Yep.
It seems like the population is limited, and yet these are all so cool. It must be really tough to compete for that pilot out there, because we, as a pilot, I'm saying, I've got all these choices. What do I do? What do I do? Right.
Exactly. And, you know, and that's one thing we knew when we jumped into this. It was, we weren't the first, in, and, I'm sure we were not the last either. And, mm-hmm. The competition is what's driving, I think, everybody to get better and continue to push their products. And really the underlying benefit to all of that is to the pilot. I mean, we're out there making things as easy and fun to use. And, it's the pilots really the ones that are benefiting from this arms race, so to speak, to see who can put out the next best thing. And we're never one gonna shy away from the competition, and we definitely welcome that. And I think one of our strengths there is, like I said, being able to have those open and honest communications and conversations with our pilots, and let them know what we can do, and shape our technology to help them, fly better.
There you go. One of the, obviously the questions that come up is the cost. So what does it cost someone mm-hmm. to use this application?
We actually have two versions. We have iFlight Planner Premium, which is $89.95 a year. There's $24.95 for 3 months and $9.95 a month. But there's also iFlight Planner Free. And, like I said, that's, one of the benefits of our relationship with Sennheiser Aviation. But, a lot of our pilots who are now premium members started out as iFlight Planner Free member. And, we're always going to have a free, service available to pilots, and, that allows them to plan and file and even log their flights as well. There's a little bit of limited functionality, but we want people to get in there and play around with it and really use it. And the additional features like the weight and balance calculator and the exporting to the avionics are some of the premium features that people have asked for. So it's we have that, but I will also say too, if people listening to the show this evening go to iFlightPlanner.com/blog, there's a little post up there that says that we're going to be on the show tonight, and if they click on the Simple Flight logo, it'll actually take them over to the join page for iFlight Planner, and we're offering all the listeners a $20 discount on the annual and a $5 discount on the 3 months. So if somebody wants to get in there and take advantage of that, we encourage them to do so too. So a lot of options with regards to your price points and in your pocketbook.
Wow, you just got one purchaser. I'm going to take advantage of that.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, that's very generous of you, and thank you. I know all of our listeners will certainly appreciate that too. That's that's a good deal.
So iFlightPlanner.com/blog, is that correct? And there'll be
that's correct. Yep. And even if they're on the homepage right now, they'll see in the lower right hand corner there's a quick link to the blog there as well, and that'll take them to the blog as well, where they can take advantage of that.
Yeah, I know a lot of our listeners listen to this as a podcast, so that'll obviously be good throughout at least the week, correct?
Absolutely. Yeah. Yep. We'll leave it up there for for a bit, and we'll make sure that that's there for anybody that that wants to take advantage of it. If they just even shoot us an email and say they heard the show, we'll make sure we honor that for them.
Excellent, appreciate that. I'm sure you'll also give them some kind of discount on golf lessons.
we can definitely negotiate that for sure too.
I'll take advantage of that too.
Mark needs a lot of work, yeah. So you might want to raise the price. You know, it's as far as being an entrepreneur in aviation, you know, Mark hinted at it earlier. Why do you think aviation is such a great space to be an entrepreneur?
You know, I mean, for me, who's kind of been a technology guy, even though I'm not doing any of the development on the back end, I always appreciate the technology and I mean, even the engineering that goes behind the aircraft that we fly. I'm just I'm amazed by how many industries are touched by aviation, and it's a lot of fun. I mean, I think that's really the bottom line is, I mean, so many people who work in the industry now had a passion for it that, I mean, probably stems from childhood at some point. And, it's a great, industry to be in. I think there's definitely a feeling of family and while we're competitors on some front, we're definitely friends first. And, you know, there's no better realization of that is when you go up to Oshkosh and you just see everything that's going on. That's, for me, that's where a lot of the energy, comes from and, why I feel fortunate to be able to be in this industry and doing the things that we're doing with iFlight Planner. But, there's so much innovation and so much opportunity it's an exciting place to be.
We couldn't agree more.
Yeah, no, it's excellent. It's, you know, what I've really learned about this about the aviation industry and all the entrepreneurs in it is that it's a incredibly passion filled industry, and all the products are just built out of sheer passion. And, which is really cool. And it develops some really neat stuff. And, you know, if you start taking a look at, you know, products like yours and, you know, some of the other names, you know, everybody's going kind of in a little bit different direction, which is really cool because it's building something that's like totally, dialed in for a specific purpose. And everything like that. It's really cool to see and you know, from the consumer side of things, I guess, and also to, you know, just like you said, be everybody's friend too.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think a perfect proof of that is, Al, how you and I met. I mean, we met through a mutual friend, Danny over at King Air Nation. And I mean, they're doing great stuff. And it was just one of those things that, that happened at Air Venture. We met Danny and, he's doing a lot of fun stuff with King Air Nation. And, you know, he said, you know what? I got to introduce you to Al and Travis and Mark over at Simple Flight. And you know what? And now here we are on a radio show talking airplanes and aviation and having a lot of fun.
Yeah. It's a wonderful community. Air Venture is a great place for that, but even this, like, flying club that Al and I are part of,
Yeah. We
say great planes, great people. And it's kind of the Adam Smith of AOPA. So it's kind of planes that bring you to this, but it's the people that are the stickiness, if you will. It's just the great
Absolutely.
Fraternity and community.
Yeah. Yeah. I love it. Well, that's great. So what's next for iFlight Planner? I know you got a big release coming out for the 2.0 for iPad, but where can we see you guys next? Are you going to be at the AOPA Summit?
We will. We'll be down in Dallas, Fort Worth, next month. It's, the 10th through the 12th at the Fort Worth Convention Center. We'll be, set up with, Sennheiser Aviation. The booth number escapes me right off the top of my head, but, we'll be there set up with them and have the latest beta version, if not the real version of iFlight Planner for iPad 2.0, probably the beta version now that I look at the calendar real quick. But we invite everybody to come by and say hello. We'll definitely give you the full demo if you'd like, but absolutely just stop by and say hello and introduce yourselves, and we can continue the conversation, talk golf, whatever it might be.
Yeah, right. we have this thing where we like to ask our guests, what do they fly and what's their favorite plane? Before we let you go, we got to get that from you as well.
Yeah. All of my time is in the Cessna 172. Wow, my favorite airplane. I'm probably going to have to say the Boeing 747.
Nice.
And really that goes back to, it was one of the airplanes that I always kind of longed to see. It was kind of my unicorn for the longest time. And I still remember, I think we were in Orlando and we drove by the airport and I saw the 747. So I'm going to have to go with that one.
That's cool. I like that.
Yeah. You've always talked, actually, Al always talks about the 747 and the Cessna 150. I guess two ends of the spectrum there.
Hey, it covers everything. So yeah. But Andy, thank you very much for joining us tonight. This has been, an incredible look at iFlight Planner,
iFlightPlanner.com.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And, what you guys are doing is really, really great. And I think a lot of, I know certainly a lot of our listeners have a really fine appreciation for what you're doing. And, the show is meant to focus amazing people, doing amazing things in aviation, and you're certainly one of them. So we appreciate everything you're doing for the aviation community.
Well, thank you guys too. I mean, really appreciate you having me on and given the opportunity and even the short notice. It worked out great, and happy to do it. And like I said, any of the listeners that have anything that we can do for them, send us an email, send us a contact message, and we'll be there to help as well.
Awesome.
Awesome. All right, Andy Matthews, iFlightPlanner.com. Thanks again, and we will be talking, I'm sure, very soon.
Sounds great, guys. Thanks a lot.
All right, have a
All
great
right.
evening.
Thanks, Andy.
Yeah, you too.
All right, good
Bye-bye.
Night.
Bye-bye.
Wow. Another wow.
Yeah.
We always have wows. I love that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
It opened my eyes. It's, to me, the industry hadn't necessarily, I hate to say one trick pony, because everyone defaults and will say the name 4Flight. And I'm a big 4Flight fan. I really am. But I see some things I could want to use on this. I am going to take advantage of his offer. And I think, it's one of those things, price performance. So we'll compare it against, we'll see pilots doing some comparison. So hopefully we'll get some additional feedback from listeners. But I applaud him for what he's doing, and I applaud him that he can actually play golf. I can.
Yeah.
As much as I try.
No, absolutely. this is cool. Like I said, all these flight planning tools are going in different directions now, and.
Do you really tell me more about that.
I kind of do think so. You don't have this, with iFlight Planner, it's a cloud-based system.
Right.
You don't really hear many people refer to their flight planning tool as a cloud, which, this means that it's open. In my opinion, this is opened up to a lot of different things, whether you have an iPad, a phone, a computer, an Android device.
Right. If you have internet access, you can use this.
Right. Exactly. And, 4Flight is still great, but, you have to be locked into an iPad or an iPhone only.
Right. Right.
And, so there's a lot of these things going on, and I think that there's a level of consistency throughout this too. I've played around with some of the Garmin apps on Android and the iPad, and there's some differences between the two different versions. And it's not, I can't say that I'm a huge fan, of that inconsistency, but, by going on the computer and actually doing this on the iPad with iFlightPlanner.com, it's really, there's the level of consistency and service is maintained throughout all this And you get some cool features of like sharing the weight and balance, your flight plan, printing out a really nice flight release. It's really cool.
Yeah, and you know, I work for a software company and have worked in this industry for decades. And so I'm used to the feature battles and all that, and I get lost in it, so that's why I always focus when I'm talking to my potential customers, what problem am I solving, right?
Yeah.
And it's not about this feature, because they're all going to leapfrog each other from release to release. We're version 2, now you're version 2, and you did this. But, you know, you brought up some good things. I think it sounds like they've got some good price performance. I want to get deeper into it, but I'm looking at it up here on our big screen, and, you know, I see the green spots. I see the red. I can tell the TFRs. Actually, what's that second green spot there over? It looks like DuPage area.
Oh, you could set up your favorite airports.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
All right. But it looks like a good UI. So I'm actually going to take him up on his offer and download it from the App Store. Again, iFlightPlanner.com, but it is out in the App Store as well. So very, very cool.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it is. It's great.
Yes. I also, we talked about jealousy because I can't play golf. But actually what makes me more jealous, and it's with all of our guests, these people have gone out, and you know how passionate I am about aviation, no different than 99% of the other pilots out there.
Yeah.
But there's a subset of them, like Andy Matthews, that have gone out and done something about it.
You know, right.
And like Ian and Rod and the list goes on. Dave, all these people that have said, well, I'm going to start a company because I really love this. And so it's not so much jealousy. I would say my admiration, because we all could have done it, but they went out and did it.
Right. Absolutely. So why not? No time like the present.
Well, my boss may be listening, so I better be careful what I say.
Does your boss know that you're a radio show host?
He does. Yeah. Actually, I have told, it's kind of like, actually Andy said in something I read about him on the internet, it's tough to have a conversation without golf and airplanes coming up. It's tough to have a conversation with me, with my non-aviation friends, without aviation coming up. It's just,
right.
I don't know why I do it. I wish I'd shut up sometimes, but it always comes up. And so certainly people, you know, what are you doing this weekend? You going fly? Oh yeah. And I do this radio show. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
You know what I could see? You know, I could just see it now, where you're going to be out. It'd be like a total icebreaker where, you know, it's some like, you know, business convention and everybody goes around the room, say something that we would never know about you before. And it's like, hi, Mark, and I'm a radio show host. You're like, whoa, hi, Mark.
Actually, I was at, an event and the radio show didn't come up at first, and then it was with an aviation theme, you know, so it's not that much out of the ordinary, but all of a sudden, in the middle of the event, someone said, Mark doing the radio show, and the guy across the room said, I knew your voice from somewhere. that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is great.
Actually, I don't know if you heard about that, I'm also now a video star in the aviation world.
Whoa. No, I did not.
So at a PAPA meeting, PAPA standing, I don't even know what it stands for now, but it always stood for Palwaukee Airport Pilots Association. And of course, this isn't Palwaukee anymore, but they still call PAPA. So they did the safety briefing.
Uh-huh.
And I was asked by a CFI if I would get into the Redbird sim and be a pilot for a couple different safety scenarios.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah, so it was. And so I grabbed actually someone, Al, that you know from the club, to be my passenger. And they at least for the first one, gave us a script, but we didn't use the script.
Yeah.
And they gave us a scenario, and we did two different scenarios, no script, one take.
And wow.
Yeah, and it's actually going to be posted on the internet.
Really?
Yeah, it was pretty cool. And one I was doing something called Shooting the Gap, where it was a marginal VFR day, shooting between Class Bravo and Schomburg going down thing at, but I needed to stay legal because I wanted to get into Class G and yet keep my One mile clear across. And so I ran into a little problem. It'll be a secret.
Nice.
You can probably guess what happened. And another one was off of the old, that Cirrus accident, unfortunate tragedy we had last year where the father, the two daughters, and the boyfriend were killed when he basically was trying to avoid, you know, getting help because he had caught himself in IFR even though he was a private pilot.
Right.
So that one was called Climb and Confess, and that was done by our friend Bob Schmelzer, asked me to do that, and he played ATC, and I, you know, had a different outcome because I climbed, I confessed, and I took ATC, and they gave me vectors to another airport.
Nice. I love it.
Yeah, and what was kind of cool, and I know I'm just rambling on here, but what was kind of cool is I truly felt like I was in that situation. So in the beginning, I was kind of a little play acting. But okay, I'm stuck. I got to do what they say. And so I got my scan really just down to attitude and altitude. And when I broke out of the clouds on my final approach at Aurora, Alpha Romeo Romeo, I actually, my eyes didn't cry, but they had a little wetness that came to them because I was so excited that I got out.
Oh man.
So I got into the role, I will say.
Nice.
So it was fun. So you'll have to watch it.
You saved the day.
Yeah, well, I don't know about that.
That's awesome.
Fun.
That is cool. Well, nice job. You'll have to send us the links to that so we can see it when it's available.
Yeah. Well, I'll send you the links now that where it is available. It's just not posted online. It's at a Dropbox location. But our friend Rob Markets of Jetwine said he was going to put it on a Facebook page or something.
Cool.
Nice job.
We like it.
We love it.
We love it.
Woohoo!
So anyway, you know, let's talk about, the aviation business real quick.
Okay.
If you were to go, I think we should have a call to action.
Uh-oh, a CTA.
CTA. We need a, Chicago Transit Authority. Oh man, I'm becoming you.
Yes, Mr. Acronym MA.
Oh, man.
Well, but it's really a call to action.
Massachusetts.
Okay, MA. Mississippi. Oh, MA, right.
Ah, yeah.
Right.
Oh, there it is.
No, Massachusetts, the acronym for Massachusetts is M. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice.
Anyway, yeah, let's move on off that.
So,
oh, you know what? I forgot. How long have I been doing this show and I didn't do any of my.
Well, I don't think anybody missed them. Let's put it that way.
Well, no, no. Come on, come on, come on, come on.
Yeah, there they are. The highly delayed.
I had to get a sound effect.
The highly delayed sound effect. You know what was funny? Is that when I had sound effects, you did not like them.
I'm trying to remember when you had sound effects.
I had sound effects back in the day.
No, when we started, the thing I didn't like, you were saying, this is brought to you by autopilot, and it was those kind of things.
Yeah,
didn't
you didn't like,
the
sound effects. You didn't like the funny car talk stuff at the end. All right.
Laughing. And finally, my favorite.
Yeah. You're going to town on the.
Well, I had to get caught up. Okay, I'm up caught up for an hour and a half into the show.
All right,
I've done all the obligatory sound effects.
Yeah, that is that's nice. But what if you were to start an aviation business? What business would you start?
Oh my goodness, it's almost like I don't care.
You don't care.
I don't care because anything in aviation would be good. So, but which is wrong attitude. You got to be passionate about it, right? Because I've thought about aviation restaurants on the airfields and we've talked about that. I've thought about so many things. I've thought about some technology companies.
Uh-huh.
And I'm going to keep them quiet because I think there's a need in the cockpit for something I'm thinking of. And it doesn't compete with iFlight Planner or 4Flight or Garmin Pilot. It doesn't compete there. It's a totally separate app. But I see another need in the cockpit that I've been playing around with on a technology basis. And I've talked to someone. They presented some technology obstacles that I'll have to overcome. So I'm kind of thinking through those.
Cool.
Yeah. So what about you?
What would I do?
Yeah. You want to start an aviation business? What would it be?
An airline. Yeah,
an airline. And how would you do it different?
How would you do it different? So here's my thinking on airlines right now is that, and the best way that I can explain it is by a, like the craft brew business.
Okay.
You know, so think about
the juicer
like
business.
the juicer
inside
business.
Joke.
Yeah, inside joke. But you, think about how you know, like these like little you know, your favorite brands of like beer, you know, they came about.
Yep.
Now, like if you take like Miller Lite, Coors, Bud Light, Rolling Rat, Leinenhugels, all those different, you know, brands, they're all owned by, you know, the big players, which are like Anheuser-Busch and Miller Coors. And so all these like little regional brands became a, you know, part of this like big entity. And the same thing for airlines kind of happened, for airlines, or the same situation goes for the airlines right now. You look at all these regional airlines.
Right.
Right. They've been all absorbed into a couple different brand names like American Eagle or SkyWest. You know, American Eagle,
Masaba,
you know, Masaba was now, you know, absorbed. You know, so all these major airlines, major regional airlines, they were composed of, you know, all these little brands like Wings West, Business Express, Simmons Air, all these little companies under this one umbrella. Now they are essentially, you know, they're the essential like Miller Coors or Anheuser-Busch of the airline industry now, right? They've absorbed all these things. They've merged under one, and now they're, you know, one brand. You know, but if you look at the brewing industry, now you have all these like craft brews popping up all over the place.
Right.
And if you start looking at that, like, you know, it's just based, and they're kind of competing on quality, if you will, or like recipes or things like that. Something a little bit different that, you know, the big guys, they can't really compete on. And it might just be even sure passion or love, that these guys are starting to go on. And, you know, I've got a feeling the same thing is going to happen to these regional airlines. Is that these, you're going to have these little regional airlines like Surf Air.
Yep. So you that's what I'm thinking of. Surf Air and Air Choice One.
There's a couple little there's one out of Memphis, one out of Georgia, New Mexico.
Yep.
You got these little regional airlines now that are truly regional airlines that, that are competing on stuff that the major airlines can't even compete on, or the big regional airlines, because for all we know it, you know, when I was a regional airline pilot, we're flying Milwaukee to San Francisco or flying a red eye back from LA. I mean, there's nothing regional about that,
right?
You know, so what about the flights from like all the little Wisconsin towns, like Air Wisconsin, used to do all the way back in? There might not necessarily be a market, but you know, in some areas, there could be a little market, and that's where
the one that comes to mind is Surf Air and Wade Ierley. And if you remember when Wade was on our show, I was really excited, and I remain excited because I think that that represents a paradigm shift. Because it's tough. It's easier in beers to come up with the little homegrown thing, and that the pricing is such that people get into it. An airline, it's a whole different ball game.
It is.
And I have to confess, I haven't kept up on Surf Air, and I need to, but you know, I'm thinking if they come to the Chicago, St. Louis, Kansas City thing, right, which he talked about.
Yeah.
Where you pay one monthly fee and you can fly as many times as you want and you can bring a friend for free.
Right.
That's major league paradigm shift, and in a PC-12 that makes you feel like you're someone special and you can network and do business.
Right.
You know, I don't know. I feel like that's the thing I believe in, and that if I were starting an airline, that's what I'd want to do.
Right.
I don't know about you. When you say you want to start an airline, is that it? Or are you thinking something totally different?
Oh, and as far as the business model goes?
Yep. Or you haven't even taken it to that level, I guess.
I guess it hasn't gone to that level, but yeah, I think that you could have your total niche, right? You know, there's a lot of different customer bases out there. You know, you have like the ultra low cost carriers that shuttle people to and from vacation destinations. You have business travelers. You have, you know, semi regional travelers, you got international, you got all these things, right? So, you know, I think you can carve out your own little niche that maybe never existed as a targeted group for airline passengers. They may fit under one of the big umbrellas, but why can't you go into one of the, like, let's say the business travelers? Why can't you just, like, go after salesmen, you know, instead of, you know, like, take a sub part of the, like, the business travelers and then, you know, go after them. I don't mm-hmm. know. You know, I don't know if that made sense or not, but.
Well, you and I have bandied about ideas over the year or year or two about ways to make this work. I think there is opportunity to do more. It's just an expensive investment.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and you're betting a lot. And, you know, it's the people that have built businesses by taking that risk. It's pretty cool. And it's getting the kahunas to do it. So we had to map it out. Maybe we can get our audience to be our first passengers or something.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you should get, I think, you know, I take up this philosophy of whenever I'm teaching or talking to somebody, it's like, what are your aviation dreams? So I think we need a call to action.
A CTA.
CTA. But we should bring, we should help you achieve your aviation dreams of making the official switch to making a living in aviation.
Well, I shouldn't say if it weren't for, depending on ability to keep a medical, I think a wonderful retirement job for me was to be a CFI.
Yeah.
You know, very, no paradigm shift in that, just helping people learn to fly, because I think I do a good job coaching, and I certainly love the aspect of flying and teaching, bringing more people into it. It kind of meets all the goals.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it maybe grass is greener. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I think if anybody has I guess the call to action would be, let's help Mark find his aviation dream.
That's right.
Listeners, tweet.
I want to win $400 million and be a philanthropist and buy an airplane and just fly from city to city. I'll save airports. I'll bring people into it. I'll cure a disease or two along the way.
Nice.
I'd be a good philanthropist.
Yeah, absolutely.
Actually, maybe I would like that job of that, the people that were going to do the TV show on the aviation food, and they were looking for a pilot to fly around and be the reality star.
Airfare America?
Airfare America, thank you. I'll do that job.
That would be pretty delicious.
Ba-doom, boom.
Da-dum.
Where do I have one of those?
Wait, there it is. Oh, about 10 seconds too late.
Yeah.
You're catching up to him, though. You're getting faster with him.
Well,
I got a text, actually, from somebody that they said that they did not miss the sound effects.
Oh, I shouldn't use them? They suck?
They're
bad?
Quote-unquote. Here's the text. Did not miss them.
Okay. I'm shutting down the app. They're gone.
There it is.
See, I am a customer driven, customer centric business.
Yeah.
You don't like them? I'm not using them.
Great.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Now when they stop asking me to do the Sunday Night Chuckle, then I'm in trouble. Then you don't need me anymore.
And then you can go to the career section on simpleflight.net and you'll see a posting for co-host.
No, yeah. You can't wait to replace me.
I wouldn't say that.
I wouldn't say that either, but I just did.
Yeah, all right.
So, you know, I'm looking at my notes here. I had some things I wanted to talk to you about. Let's see. Oh, okay. I saw something and are we ready to shift subjects by the
way?
Yeah,
absolutely.
Okay. So it was in one of those weekly e-magazines, whether it was Flying or AOPA, I'm not sure, but it talked about the price of planes is down so much in the used market. There was two things it was talking about. One, it was about getting refurbished airplanes.
Yeah.
You know, but the other one was making more, I'll use the term, high performance and complex aircraft, you know, kind of the step above than we would normally dream.
Yeah.
Now more affordable, some because all the prices are coming down.
Yeah.
And I have to confess, I didn't read the full article, but I think where it was going is, are people now in a position to buy more airplane than they can handle?
Oh, I see.
Yeah. So like, oh my God, I can afford that Baron with,
yeah.
And I'm a, you know, a 55-hour private pilot or something like that.
Yeah.
So what do you think? Is that, I shouldn't say a danger because obviously it could be, but when you just hear that, what are the implications and should people say, no, don't, you need to stick with a Cherokee 140 or a Cessna 172? Or do you say, go for it, man, go get and push yourself to the.
I say go for it. Absolutely, because you have all this, this beautiful inventory sitting out there. And, you know, with the price point, now is a great time to get into an airplane that really can achieve, you know, probably why you got into flying. You know, just go places. You could go in a 172 and something that you might be comfortable in, but, you know, right now I think we're, as far as aviation goes, we need to advance, you know, people are looking to advance, you know, and we need to help people. And I think people that are, you know, looking at these higher performance airplanes, they're pretty aware of, you know, their ability. And, you know, I've actually talked to a couple people that are thinking about purchasing, and, you know, that is a concern. And people are, I think there's no more, you know, a bigger critic. There's no bigger critic than themselves on, oh man, this is a real big airplane for me.
Yeah, but we, and you as a CFI have taught a lot of people about the dangerous attitudes, you know, not me, the macho and all those kind of things. I think there's a set of people that would rather, whether it be for prestige or because they can, get into a plane that they may not be willing to invest the time to be proficient in. Yeah, you know me, I don't fly twins because I don't think I can afford to remain proficient. So I just don't do it.
Yeah.
But I think there's those that would say, everything's always going to be fine and I want to fly this and nothing will ever go wrong. And that scares me for some of those people. And right. I know some of those people that will get behind the airplane. And I think that's the worst thing they can do is to push themselves into something that's not that they couldn't learn, but it's something that I don't think they'd invest the time because they got busy lives besides aviation.
Right. Yeah. No, I could see that. I could see both sides of the coin, I guess, with this. And, you know, if somebody's actually thinking about buying a plane like that, you know, I would highly recommend the appropriate training, and you want to achieve this feeling. I'm all about feelings when I teach, and if you're not feeling good, something is wrong, and, you know, I certainly could tell from an instructor standpoint, but you want to know when you're ready or you feel good doing a particular thing. So, you know, imagine just getting in a Saratoga, and the only thing you've ever flown is a 172. You just bought it because now the prices are so depressed, and the inventory is high. You know, you're probably not going to be feeling good going into that. And, you know, at some point, you know, if let's say you bought it and you haven't consulted anybody or anything like that, you're probably going to, at some point throughout that process, it's going to cross your mind, you know, that, hey.
I think you're assuming people think like you. I mean, you're a good risk manager and risk assessor. And, I think that there's a lot of people that don't fly, but once every 3 months and they're getting in airplanes. I mean, I'd love for them to get more into it, but understanding that they only have so much time for aviation. I don't know. I think it's a valid question, if nothing else.
Oh, I definitely think it's a valid question too. I didn't realize that the prices are so low. Maybe I should buy a 747.
Well, I thought you were going to – well, yeah. I thought you were going to buy a 140, a Cherokee 140.
That'd be fun.
I know. You'd love it. And your mission – I don't know what your mission is. You know, I need to go 165 miles west, and I need to go about 300 miles west-southwest.
Yeah.
Right? Those are my two missions.
Yeah.
And I'd prefer something that will get there at 170 to 180 knots, and I'm a happy camper.
Yeah, right. Oh, absolutely. Let's put it this way. I'd be a happy camper just flying.
Yeah, I hear you.
But there would be I'm not, as a corporate pilot, you know, from an airline pilot, you're making peanuts. You're not making popcorn quite yet as a corporate pilot. And, you know, a Cherokee.
How come every time I bump into you, you're using a new computer? Okay, I've got this. I bind this. You're my hero.
All right. Maybe I've got my priorities like way off.
Yeah, or maybe not. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, it's something, but I don't know. Here's my thinking on aviation and like aircraft ownership is like, I don't want to just buy an airplane for the sake of having it. I know a lot of people that have an airplane, but they, maybe not necessarily here at this field, but, I've come across a lot of people that own an airplane and they can't afford to fly it, you know,
yep.
But they just want to buy it for the sake of buying it, but it pains them to know that they can't. You know, they got to watch gas closely. They get the MoGas STC, you know, all these little things. And, you know, I just don't want to put myself in a position where, okay, I'm stretching and now I really can't go where I really want to go because, you know, I've got a burden of an aircraft, you know, that I got to pay for and then put gas in.
Well, and the saying is for people in the buying boats, the two happiest days are the day they buy the boat and the day they sell the boat. I wonder if that isn't the same for the airplane.
Yeah.
I don't think it is because we certainly see a lot of happy owners out there.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. I just don't, I'll get there at some point, but, it's, you know, it'd be great to have something. And, you know, and I've said it before, but, you know, one of the things that lacks in my aviation life is choosing the destination of where to go.
From what perspective? When you say destination?
Yeah, choosing the destination on what where to go.
Because people pay you to take them to their destination.
Yeah, right.
Point, right.
Or I get it. It's a lesson. You know, you can have people. You know, they say, "Hey, let's go someplace or whatever." But you know. You know, there's some freedom that I feel like bound, you know, to determine to get. And that's the ability to, you know, choose the destination. And usually that requires either, you know, money to rent an airplane, which, you know, I don't necessarily, it's not in my, monthly budget to go, you know, rent a Cirrus quite often. You know, that's something that's a decision that I'm going to really cherish making, you know, at some point.
No, maybe not. I'm thinking through the old, when you said that, I can't afford to fly the Cirrus on too regular of a basis. I remember when I was flying at a different organization, unfortunately they don't exist anymore, but they always told me, oh, spend more on the Arrow over the Archer because it's faster and the longer the trip, the cheaper it'll be over the one you would at the Archer. And I did the math and no, the Archer was at that point, I think it was $1.20 per nautical mile and the Arrow was $1.40. So every nautical mile flew, it cost me 20 more cents. Right. So they probably believed that was true, but when you did the math, it didn't. So there should be some service. I'm starting a company here, Al.
There it
is. Where we talk about the comparative, I mean, it breaks it basically down cost per nautical mile.
There was a website out there that was a great website, but they like, they just like talked about the operating expenses of each airplane.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they had it all mapped out, but the last time I went, I can't even remember the name of the website anymore, but, you know, the last time I had gone on there, you know, gas prices were like $3.50 a gallon. And, you know, at the time Avgas was, you know, in the fours, you know, the high fours. And, you know, now here at PWK, it's well
double that.
$8 gallons. Or $8 a gallon.
Yeah. But, yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah. When I first got my Cirrus, it was $2.50.
Woo!
$2.50 per gallon was the price of gas, of Avgas. And that wasn't that many years ago.
Yeah.
It skyrocketed.
That is really, that's really cool.
I can't believe you just looked up at the clock and I'm looking at the clock. Is it? Seriously, 5 minutes left?
We have 5 minutes left, and guess what time it is in Zulu time? It's 2:54 Zulu. You know how I figured that out?
Nope. You got some app in front of you?
Yes, iFlightPlanner.com. It has a permanent banner below that says your time, military time, and Zulu time.
So I just went out to iFlightPlanner.com, and I'm to sign in. I clicked our logo, the Simple Flight logo under blog.
Uh-huh.
And promote your FBO. I'm trying to remember, what did he want me to do? I wrote it down somewhere. So I want to buy this thing.
Oh, well, squirrel. I'll do that after that.
Squirrel, yeah.
Personal transactions are not allowed during the course of the show.
Yeah. So, Andy Matthews, who was our guest, and he mentioned the short notice, and that was because we had a cancellation and
right.
we kind of had to do a shift. So how are we looking for next week's show?
Next week's show, we're going to have the gentleman who was going to talk about virtual airlines with us tonight, and I probably would have done the same thing, but he had an opportunity to do a ferry flight for a friend.
Nice.
So, so he did that, which is really great. But he'll be on next week. Looking into October, we got a couple of great guests lined up. For the show last week that we unfortunately missed, the people from Pilot Fitness are going to be coming on the show with us. They said it actually works out better for them because they're going to be launching a new site here real soon, a new design at least, with better, more content. And hopefully I'll have lost more weight by then, to even further solidify.
For those of you not aware, Al has, really committed to this. We've talked in the past, but now he's actually executing the dream, if you will, and bought a juicer and he's drinking and eating more healthily,
yes.
whatever
plant
that word.
Strong.
Yeah, plant protein versus, animal protein
yeah.
and, it's showing, and he's got a little facial hair.
Exactly. This is a technical term called the reserve beard. The reserve beard. And, when I was on reserve in, Washington DC for the airlines, we had this thing going on. It was like, if you were on, you could always tell the guys that were on reserve because they had a beard. They'd grow a beard, or if it was your days off, you'd just grow a beard. So I'm rocking the reserve beard right now.
RTRB?
Yeah.
RTRB,
it's
I'm sorry.
Going out about a week and a day.
All right.
So
well, it seems to be a young man thing, and I just don't think I could pull it off.
You should try it.
Actually,
let's have a call to action. For those listeners who would like to see Mark rock the reserve beard, let's send a tweet out.
You know, most people, and I used to coach basketball for Travel League, and well, you know, you always got gifts from the players at the end, you know, and all that. All of a sudden, I had one guy, he gave me a razor, and they were, because we had a good year, they wanted me to shave my mustache, which, what year is this? It's 2013. What year did I first grow my mustache?
I don't know.
1974.
You have never gotten rid of the mustache?
Since 1974. And it's, you know, it's gray now, and I keep thinking, and people say, oh, you look so much younger, and I can't bring myself to shave it off.
You should
I'm afraid, like, oh my God, the guy's got a big nose now. It'll, you know, everything becomes centered on the nose. So, you're talking about growing a reserve beard, and I'm thinking that's better than shaving off my little stash.
Shave off the stash. That's hilarious. You know, I'm trying to picture you without your mustache.
Yeah, there's gotta be some app on, I'm sure that I could do that just to get a view.
To get that?
Yeah, I asked the woman that cuts my hair, I asked her what she thought, and she said keep the mustache, so.
Keep the mustache.
She'll come back.
Do you like stand in front of a mirror at night or something like that and try to like figure it out?
Nope.
We're starting to get some,
yeah, I see my health and I'm starting to get tweets.
Tweets coming in about this.
Rocket, Mark.
Rocket. Yeah.
Rock the reserve beard.
Rock the reserve beard. That would be awesome. Yeah. We've got to stay on the line here, for another, few minutes here because I've got a great idea.
Uh-oh.
So,
great idea?
So, that's kind of, do you think you would know what you would look like without the mustache?
I don't know what I'd look like. I mean, you say it can't be that big a difference, but all the people that I know that have shaved their mustache, like, oh my God, I hardly recognize you, and you got a big nose. That's always the response. And then they look normal after about 24 hours. It's that first thing, like, you don't like it because you're so used to seeing it.
Yeah. That would be awesome. Let's see here. So,
I just got a text. Just cut it. Grow a pair.
That would be awesome.
Nice. Thank you, listener.
Let's see here. We got a...
Now you made me laugh. That was someone you and I know that...
Here we go. Uh-oh. This is going to be awesome.
Uh-oh, what's going on here?
Oh, man, let's see.
He's pushing a bunch of buttons on his phone. Are you going to do one of those apps that... I have an app you can add hair.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
That'd be awesome.
Blue hair.
That would be really great. They had a...
It's 10 o'clock. I don't know if our listeners want to go through this. What
yes,
are you
they
doing?
Do. Yes, uh-oh. They do. Everybody has to go off and find. I'm going to tweet something really special right now. And
He's doing some stuff here. He's holding his phone so I can't see it.
Yep.
Something's coming.
Let's see. So
I had a microphone in front of my mouth. There's no way you could show my mustache unless you took a picture of me when I wasn't looking.
Oh, man, this is going to be great.
Of course, now that listener just said it's worse if you wear a toupe, and I don't wear a toupe.
You don't wear a toupe. Oh, no. Man. All right, there it is.
Oh, you tweeted something? It's going to be coming across. Oh, I'm so embarrassed. I don't even know what. Oh, my phone's buzzing.
Uh-oh.
Let's see.
Oh, man. You got to go. So everybody needs to go out.
Now that makes me look old.
Simple Flight. Follow me, Al Waterloo, on Twitter, at A-L underscore H2 letter O, L-O-O, on Twitter, and see my last pic.
Now, what's that stuff, that hair, that's supposed to be sideburns, it's coming up near my eyes.
It's like Chester A. Arthur. You need a shave.
Yeah, that's an ugly beard. That I would never do. But it kind of matches the mustache.
Yeah,
it does.
You did
a good job.
Thank you.
Oh, my, I look so old.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. All right, very, very funny. Okay, we rocked it.
Yes, all right. So, anyway, everybody,
you know what, I'll do Sunday Night Chuckle to start the show, and you do hair removal or hair growth to close the show.
Yep, I will. That sounds great. Anyway, thanks for joining us tonight.
Yeah, as always.
I think it was worth the extra 2 minutes to stay live for a minute or two. But anyway, we're looking forward to having Virtual Airlines on next week and into October, pilotfitness.com. And thanks for coming out again.
Yeah. Yeah. I appreciate, of course, the audience being there, and I hope for those listening as a podcast during the week that you've found this a good use of drive time.
Yeah.
Right?
Awesome.
And I don't know, like we got one listener tonight said, well, they're not at the fitness place working out, listening to us. That's
yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, exactly. So anyway, make sure that you check out iFlightPlanner.com. That's
/blog. And then, I clicked on the logo. There's somewhere and you can get $20 off your annual fee, and it's already a great value. So check that out. I don't know if I've messed it up. We'll post that there, but I think that's what he said to do.
Yeah.
And blue skies.
Blue skies and very strong wintry, well, autumnal tailwinds. Let's put
there
it
that
way.
There you go, autumnal tailwinds.
All right.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
You're listening to Simple Flight Aviation Radio with Al Waterloo and Mark Heppner on www.simpleflight.net.
Simple Flight Radio, ready for takeoff.
What do you think about flying? Is it a sport? A business? Is it easy or difficult? Is it boring or exciting? Alan Waterloo and Mark Heppner think it may be any of those things, but they like to make it simple. This is Simple Flight Radio, where Mark and Al talk about the many aspects of aviation and the amazing people doing amazing things to make this world a better place.